PNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan, the favorite show of one Peyton Russell. You got me, Kevin Hagelin. You got, oh, man, Corey Majors.
Oh, man.
And, of course, the famous Alec Medford. Gentlemen, how the heck you doing today? How the heck is everybody out there in Radio Land? 877-881-1053, Franklin Frankel, Injury Attorney Text Line, or the Twitch, or the YouTube.
Kevin, I know we usually use this moment to D around a lot, and people are like, we'll get lots of texts that are like, hey, sports, please. There's so many people that text that in.
And I feel like there's a lot of texters like, hey, more screwing around.
And you know what? We can screw around sometime, but not right now because we have a Cowboys game to discuss.
Oh, baby.
From Saturday night, very, very late. Football should not be played that late, quite honestly. But, if you got a chance to get your eyeballs on that game, you got to see some very promising things. I think some promising things from some people that you're like, what can they be?
Right.
Revel being one, Barham being one, Joe Milton being one as well. And Jaden Blue gave you something to be excited about too. So I think Kevin, I saw some stuff this weekend that I'm excited about.
Now, to your point, I know it's more than just the one person, but you know how, like, maybe the first preseason game felt like the Camden Brown game?
Yeah.
This felt like the Joe Milton game for...
And the Jonathan Mingo game.
Yeah, actually, you know what? Let's go ahead and knock both of those out at once. Give me cut number three, please.
At the 45, and Milton is back all kinds of time. He airs this out deep. He got a man left. Mingo at the 15-10. Mingo dances in. Bingo, bango, mingo. Touchdown, Cowboys.
How long has he been waiting to do that?
Oh, my gosh. Well, considering this was the first touchdown of Jonathan Mingo's NFL career, preseason or regular season, a really long time. And that is
was that his breakout game?
Can you count? Does a preseason game count as a breakout game?
Whoever it is that texts that in every year, every week, actually.
Yeah.
877-881-1053. Does that count?
And just for the record, he had more yards on that one catch than people would say would be his breakout game combined. But at a time when, indeed, at a time where we are really talking about players who are on the bubble, are looking to make the roster, I don't know if Joe Milton was going to be out the door necessarily, but it does seem like he is taking control of the backup quarterback spot, and I stand firm. I now believe Jonathan Mingo is going to make this team, and I think he's shown a lot of spark throughout camp, not throughout the offseason, because leading into training camp, it just looked like we were just wasting time with him out there. But, man, he has had a resurgence, looked good in that game, and I believe now that he will make the team. But to your point, this did feel like a pretty positive across-the-board preseason, except for the run defense.
And the team kind of looks like it knows what it's doing, right? Do you kind of feel like... Most everything I'm walking away from here looks organized. Nick Eatman said it best, Kevin, and now I'm saying it. And that is, most of the time when you get to the second game, people are just like, who cares about it? Let's get back to Texas, right? Like this game, we're leaving Oxnard, we're distracted by all this stuff. There were dudes out there that looked like, and I know it's Arizona, listen, let's go ahead and reboot all this. It's not saying it's the Super Bowl yet, guys. Don't hang the banner yet.
Feels like Arizona is our Super Bowl because we always lose.
But I told you what was going to happen. I said we were going to win. We're going to win the preseason game. But it just feels like there's a little more clarity on what their responsibilities are. And the dudes didn't look lost. And that's I know that sounds like you should at least be able to do that. But we saw last year, he couldn't do it a lot of times. So that felt a lot better. With Joe Milton, Kevin, after 2 days of practice, I was like, Sam Howell. Sam Howell's got this thing locked up, dude. And then Joe Milton stepping into actual football game. And he's had a pretty good camp, too. But he steps into the football games and looks like he's comfortable in this offense more so than he was last year. Last year, he looked like, man, I can't even hang in the pocket. I just got to go. Put my head down and run. And what you saw him on this game was, and you've seen it a couple times now, staying in the pocket to make a throw, which we talked about with Mickey.
Can we stop on that for just a second? Because I know there's more, but I do like the, not to say you can't run, because you saw obviously a run up the middle for a touchdown that worked quite well. It's not that you can't run, but you shouldn't have happy feet, and you should be willing to stay in the pocket just a little, that half a second longer.
We talk about this, Kevin, all the time. A quarterback's job is they're paid as much as they are because of all of the things that they have to see pre-snap and do and their responsibilities. That's what they're paid for, is to see the responsibilities and see the one or two spots, windows that they can get the ball into, like, or create, maybe even create a window out of what they see in a defensive alignment. That's what their responsibilities are. And if you don't hang in the pocket, you might miss the timing of that. And that's one of the things. The other thing is, we talk with all the best coaches, say, hey man, running is great, but at some point you're going to have to deliver a big time throw. Like, that's just gonna have to happen, and if you can't do it, you can't be the quarterback for that person's team. So the fact that he's hanging in there and doing that, big deal. But then you talk about the running part. He didn't just put his head down and run. He put his head up, kept looking downfield, and delivered a pass.
Right.
Like, these are positive things to see from Joe Milton, who at one point we were like, we don't even know if he sees it, man. He looks like he absolutely feels more comfortable with this offense and understands his responsibilities a lot more.
Yeah, and I actually think he said something like very similar to that in terms of his comfortability, which is great because you've seen that from Pickens. I know Caleb Downs has kind of mentioned stuff like that. But this is something I wanted to go over in the aftermath of the game. And we can talk more about the game as we go along, obviously, but updated roster projection from the Dallas Morning News. And what's interesting is this has shifted over from Joseph Hoyt to Calvin Watkins. And I think you'll see some differences because of that. On Calvin Watkins' roster projection, Sam Howell out, Phil Maffa out, Trigg out, Leafau and Sam Williams out, Kalen Carson and Reddy Stewart out. The reason being is he's going very heavy on offensive line, hitting it up at 11 as opposed to maybe 9 or 10. And so, you know, I just wanted to kind of pose that thought or philosophical question to you. I know you never want to get rid of good players, but are there some players that you're like, no, I like this player, but man, I don't know what I really have at offensive line, so I'm going to go heavy on that, sacrificing a player that I know is better because I don't know how I feel about this position?
I hate that idea. I hate it. Hate it. And honestly wouldn't do it.
Ooh, okay.
I would prefer to go get better offensive linemen rather than hold on to a bunch of dudes that I just don't know.
Right.
It's funny, like, was it Brad Sham was yelling at Bobby and Wolchuk about what they thought Shelton looked like.
They said, not great.
Yeah, I would rather go say, all right, then we got to go sign a veteran than hold on to an extra one and lose some probably other really good players that can help us in other places. That being said, your offensive line, you gotta figure that out, dude. And you can't have all swing tackles and guards everywhere.
Right, right.
But you really do have to figure that out. I just would tell the GM, hey, can we spare something here? Can we make an investment? There's probably still a dude out there. We are still waiting, Kevin, for first cuts.
Right.
Like, those things are happening too. So I'd rather upgrade the offensive line than just keep a bunch of quantity around.
All right. So let me go back through this list of seven players. Just these seven specifically. You tell me who you were like, I need to keep that person, or I want to keep that person. Howell?
I don't want to keep a third.
So. Maffa?
I hope he makes it through waivers again.
Okay. Trigg?
Look, man, he was undrafted. I was hoping, I had high hopes for him, but he hasn't separated himself, and quite honestly, Schoonmaker and Brevin Spanford are going to be just fine.
Leafau?
I think I already had a bad, he didn't get a good slate for me the whole time.
Sam Williams?
I would like to keep Sam Williams.
Okay.
Even though he hasn't done anything.
Sure. Kalen Carson?
Getting a bad rap pretty much the entire time here, dude. Sorry.
And Reddy Stewart.
You think you know how I feel about Reddy
Stewart?
I do. He can play on my team anytime.
All right, so
no matter what dumb mistakes he makes.
There is math right there that can work strictly from, and I realize, look, just prepare yourself. We've talked about this in the past. In a few weeks ago, what that initial 53 looks like is not what it's actually right. going to look like, because there's going to be some nonsense and shenanigans happening right there. But Sam Williams and Reddy Stewart stay on the team at the maybe expense of two offensive linemen. And I think you could probably spare two offensive linemen. You can spare at least one if you are willing to go down that path to say, hey, we believe there's somebody who, I'm not saying they're going to start or anything like that, but you feel like a little bit of cash could mean an upgrade at offensive line position 7, 8, 9, whatever the case might be. And then maybe you'd feel more comfortable carrying only 9, and then maybe you could find a way to put Stewart or Williams back on the team.
Yeah.
All right, Alec, quick question for you then. Howell, Maffa, Trigg, Leafau, Williams, Carson, and Stewart. Are there any of those that you're like, I really want / need to keep them on the roster?
I'm with Corey, honestly, on Sam Williams and Stewart. Just because the upside of Sam Williams, I know that it hasn't been perfect to start off his career here, but I've said this with a lot of edge rushers on this team. I feel like this system is going to benefit him and put him in a better place to succeed. And then I think the 1-2 from Stewart and the coachability, I think that alone is enough reason to keep him, because you need depth in your secondary.
Yeah, I agree with that. And look, and this is the time. I know the Cowboys will deny this until the end. I know every team in the NFL will deny this till the end. But you will have a player or two who has a quote-unquote injury that, if it was a real deal, we got to go for the playoffs right now, and they had a higher status, they could absolutely go. But you're like, yeah, you know, you're right. My toe has kind of been bothering me. Well, you know, I guess we gotta put you on the injured reserve, and you're like, well, that is a shame, but you still stay on the in the NFL sphere for the Cowboys. So that's absolutely going to happen with some of these guys. And for the record, every team does this.
Mm-hmm.
We see this every single time. So be prepared. You're going to see some mechanics in place to set the 53 that all of a sudden, like a day later, 2 days later, I guess you're like, hold on, we just switched out 3 people. And you're like, that's right. That's how we're going to keep those 3 people in the organization.
Part of the roster manipulation that they have learned how to master at this point.
Absolutely. Now, unrelated to the game, then we'll bounce back into the game. Did you see that CeeDee Lamb was a victim of burglary to his home in Fairview on July 30th per police records? While obviously he was not there. He was in Oxnard. Property noted per the police report, worth in excess of $300,000, was stolen from his home.
That seems like too much.
That is true. I know a lot of times, I don't think I've seen clarification on this, but I know a lot of times it is cash and jewelry that is usually the crux of this. But
this has become too much of a thing. And should all NFL players now need to hire security for their home whenever they leave?
Yeah,
because wasn't somebody at Joe Burrow's house whenever his place got broken into? And I'm just feeling like you have a security system in your home, probably, but this just happened. They know when you're gone,
right?
You have a schedule that is public, and everybody knows when you're gone. So this is wild, man. Sorry, CD.
Yeah, you're right.
I hope we find the guy.
No, you're right about this. Yes, you're right about the security thing. But it's just like, that's a shame. That's what it's come to, is you're like, well, these people know I'm going to be gone, so we need to make sure somebody is at the house. And you're like, somebody who lives there? No, just somebody. Make sure they're at the house.
The police are on their way, mofos.
Exactly. Mike Bassick knows. He really does. Now, we talked about Milton quite a bit. What did you think about, actually, you know what? This is a good cut that fits with that. Go ahead and give me cut number 2, will you? What did you think about the entirety of the running backs?
Milton under pressure, scampers out to the left, throws on the run, caught at the 5. Malik Davis dances into the end zone. Touchdown, Cowboys.
I think Malik Davis is still my guy.
Yeah, well, because in addition to that, it was, in addition to that, he looked good in pass protection.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, he did.
And so, look, it does not feel like we have a unified vision about that. There are some people who are like, pass protection is the absolute most important thing. Then there's others who are like, hey, he's really fast. I can live with some downgrade in pass protection for whoever their backup or third tier running back is. But it felt like Davis, Blue, Maffa, Abanikanda all had like their own little opportunity to shine in this, did they not?
I mean, Maffa ran for 15 yards a carry, Kevin.
It is true. That was just the one carry, right?
He ran one carry and ran for 15 yards and a touchdown. So, like, that was the most efficient rushing I've ever seen in my life.
Mm-hmm.
One 15-yard carry for a touchdown. Mm-hmm. How much more can you ask out of the guy?
I mean, I would keep him on the team at even half that yards per carry.
Malik Davis,
greatest running back that ever lived.
Malik Davis does what he does, and he does it well. You know, his numbers stand out. He's the most well-rounded one aside from Javonte, in my opinion. I don't think anybody's going to argue that. I know what Jaden Blue has in front of him. I also know that he kind of had to work hard again in order to get some of the yards that he got in this game. Thanks to, we have to have 700 offensive linemen because we don't know which one we want to keep.
Right.
But Jaden Blue, still, you see what he's capable of. I'd love to see him behind the first team offensive line. Behind a not even in the top 100 Tyler Smith, I would love to see him behind this offensive, like the first team offensive line. I think, Kevin, that's going to be more prevalent. It's going to be, I think Maffa's more likely out. Malik Davis is in, but Malik Davis might be your third, and Blue will get those second team carries, like those second series carries for a little bit, and see if they can't get an explosive play out of him. And that's how they're going to find out. Look, we didn't give him a chance with the first team offensive line, but now let's see what he is there, and they'll find a little more out before this midway through the season.
By the way,
he just can't fumble.
Yes. Like that's,
he just can't fumble.
Somebody said this from the 940, and I went and looked it up. The Fort Worth Star-Telegram did indeed say that the police report says four luxury bags were stolen, valued at more than $300,000.
Bags?
Man, that is a luxury
bag.
What
was in those bags?
I think they were just fancy bags.
What do you think was in those duffel bags?
I don't think anything. I don't think they were duffel bags.
What do you think was in them? Alec, what do you think? Salad Master was probably in there. I mean, that's worth, what, $150,000 a piece?
You know? That is way too high. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, goodbye Angels, hello White Sox, revisiting the first place Texas Rangers weekend that was, I guess, next right here on The Fan.
Zeke, a strikeout, his only previous meeting with this right-hander. First pitch is hit hard to third. Diving Guzman has it on a hop. He throws to second, but he throws it away. Out into right field. Langford scores, and the Rangers walk it off. 2-1 in 10 innings.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 through The Fan, where it was either a text to Corey or on social media that Bobby is, in fact, at the doctor.
I don't know about that.
What?
Bobby has filmed himself walking into a doctor's office and sitting in the waiting room. That we don't see him, but we also don't see him. Like, he's just in a waiting room.
Mm.
Those other people, they didn't ask to be filmed.
All right.
We still need a video from inside the doctor's office.
We are going to talk about the Rangers, I promise. I just want to float this question. Maybe we'll discuss it towards the end
of
the
segment. Somebody's like, hold on, so you can't D around whenever you're talking Cowboys? When Rangers is good, you could D around with them?
That is a fair point. But at some point, does the amount of work put into the scam, if that's what you think, negate the time saved that you're like, that's fine? Like, you missed the meeting, but you're having to go through so much work to do this other thing. And I'm not saying that. I believe Bobby is a truth teller, but I'm just, if that is what you think. All right,
I'm texting him.
Okay. So
anybody can walk into a doctor's office and take a video in the lobby.
For the Texas Rangers, man, there is a lot of good and a lot of bad this weekend.
Turn it around, baby.
They
turned it all around.
Is debatable.
Right?
But I will bring a positive spin to start. The
First
Texas
place.
Rangers have won.
I don't know what else you can say, dude. They're in first place.
They are. The other team that they're also in first place with just fired their general manager. So,
you think that that's going to like fire the Astros up? And they're like, we can't wait to be with this new guy.
Not really. By the way, so you won two straight series.
All right.
Now, it is true. The two teams you won those two straight series against have a combined record of 113 and 150.
But you couldn't beat them.
Yeah, it's true. And you just got worked by the Angels in the last series. You have also won for the Rangers three of their last four. So positive there. Mm-hmm. However, as this is like the biggest compliment sandwich you've ever seen, before Sunday's game, the Rangers had lost on Saturday 3-0. And they got one hit. And as Evan Grant astutely pointed out, that meant it had been four straight games against the Angels. Four! In which you did not score in the first nine innings.
Dude, and for whatever reason...
And they are not good.
They cannot hit Ryan Johnson. Like that, and I don't know if it's his funky delivery or what it is about him, but they cannot touch this dude. And it's irritating. I mean, maybe it's because he's DBU, you know? Dallas Baptist. They were like, hey... We can't hit off that guy. I mean, this is a hometown hero.
So, and it is weird for him specifically because Ryan Johnson has a 1.69 ERA this month, in large part because of facing the Texas Rangers two of those times, because the month before his ERA was 7.89. But yes, that was the fourth straight game in which the Rangers could not score a run in the first nine innings against the Angels. If you were thinking, well, maybe the Angels are just really good at that. The Angels have given up the 10th most runs in baseball this season. So, not really. Let's go back to Friday night's game. We played how it all ended. But in the ninth inning, you get a leadoff double. Mm-hmm. I think it was Ezekiel Duran. Leadoff double. So, man on second, no outs. Can't score. Can't win the game. You might think it doesn't matter because they did win the game, but those are the kind of things that I think drive Skip, fans, and just general people around this organization a little crazy.
That's what I'm going to ask Skip this on Wednesday, because we have him every Wednesday at 12:20,
right.
Mostly. Because there have been some weird schedules this year, but I'm going to ask him on Wednesday. I think as a fan, the most frustrating thing about this is we haven't been able to get a good read on this team. Does anybody have a clue what this team is?
Yeah.
And maybe he does. And maybe he's like, that's exactly how I wanted it to be. I can't believe it. You know, I would be like, what? Or maybe he's like, no, I actually am having a hard time too. But, you know, this is why we fight together and win these games and become brothers and all that stuff. But, like, that's the most frustrating thing is you just can't get a good judge of whether this team is about to run or what, and if they're back to being good offensively or if they're a blanked team.
Right.
And then you're like, okay, but the pitching, and you're like, crap. So you just don't know, but hey, man, you got a shot. That's all that we're riding on right now.
And that's the thing. It is fascinating to see more and more national writers coming around and being like, hold on, what's happening in that division? I believe they have...
But Ezekiel Duran... he's still your guy?
Oh, yeah.
Like that dude's been one of the one positives that we could say has been there all year.
Yeah, I mean, and look, one of the other positives, Josh Jung, obviously has fallen to the wayside when it comes to injuries. Jacob Latz continues to be just absolutely unfreaking believable. But you're looking at a division in which you are tied for first place. Nobody has a record of even 500, let alone better than 500. And the run differential, I believe, is -408. So this is clearly the worst division in baseball. I would have to take a look some more, but it feels like one of the worst divisions in the history of baseball. But!
Was it the other day when all three of the teams were -46?
That is correct.
Awesome.
So, you know, you've seen some movement there. Not with the Rangers, they're still -46. But the Mariners continue to just be the most disappointing team in all of baseball. And if you look at the history of this Texas Rangers team, I know we've raised expectations with the back-to-back World Series trips in 10 and 11, with the back-to-back divisional titles and playoff appearances in 15 and 16, and then with winning the World Series in 2023. But just everything in between that, from 2017 to now, that's your playoff appearance, is mm-hmm. winning the World Series. That's your above 500 record, is winning the World Series. So, good. I'm glad this division sucks because I'm here for it. The trade deadline already passed. You can't restock your farm system now, so might as well just keep on freaking going for it. And thank you to the AL West for helping facilitate that.
It'll be okay. I think it's going to be all right. Look here, Kevin, from the 940. Next 2 weeks, the White Sox, the Brewers, and the Rays, and then we go to Seattle. Everything's going to be just fine.
Yeah, and I don't really like totally understand that text either.
Yeah, the White Sox are first in their division.
True.
The Rays are first in their division.
They have won 3 of their last 10 games.
The Brewers are first in their division.
The Brewers are really good.
And then the Seattle Mariners, we're really good in Seattle.
Yeah, I mean, we've been better against Seattle this year, but I didn't really understand that text, because the White Sox are not particularly too much better than you. The Brewers are awesome. That is big facts. The A's, they're awful. The Rays, they have been playing awful as of late. Seattle, you've done better against them this year than you have in several years. So I do not think that the schedule looks particularly daunting whatsoever. But then again, that's when the Rangers like to throw you off. Every time you think they're done for, they excel. And when they excel, they're really done for.
Well, Kevin, the run differential between the White Sox and the Rangers, is that 103?
Sure, but I don't know how much that's really relevant, because it just matters about winning the games. And the Chicago White Sox have a slightly better record than you, but I can't say they're playing particularly better than you. So I'm not really concerned about the White Sox themselves. I'm concerned about the Rangers on a day-to-day basis and how I don't know if they'll get more than one hit or if they'll shut somebody out.
Yeah.
You know, like it goes all over the place. Yesterday's game, though, that was clearly the most encouraging of the series. A lot of really good stuff happening in that game. First of all, the squad was showing love to the Berger Family Foundation. They had their second annual Down Syndrome Awareness Day. And then you find out that Jake Berger said he dodged a bullet because
he didn't have a broken wrist.
Yes, and it looked like, especially since that's where he had issues in the past, even after x-rays showed no fracture, it seemed unlikely he would avoid the injured list because it was right kind of where that scar was last year. Not only did he not go on the injured list, he was back out there and playing yesterday. You know what? If we're mentioning people who have had unbelievable impacts this season, Cal Quantrill, again. His ERA is down to 2.9.
Mm-hmm.
He has 5 straight starts of 5-plus innings, allowing 1 or 0 earned runs, which unfortunately at times with this offense, that feels like the only way that you're going to win. Yesterday was not one of those days, but Cal Quantrill has been infinitely better than I thought.
It is kind of a weird place to be, because would you consider him in a rotation in the playoffs if you had DeGrom and Eovaldi healthy? And when you're looking at Mackenzie Gore, who you've not been able to rely on but is a lefty.
Right.
Bradford, who is a lefty also, but just now kind of getting his feet under him. Quantrill's done everything that you've asked of him all season. I think the one thing you would know is if you had to send him back to the bullpen, he'd say okay and he'd go deliver there too. But getting starts like this for him, this is awesome.
There was a time, especially when Bradford came back and when Montgomery came back, and I realized Bradford has been pitching, but Cal Quantrill was going to be the guy they were going with. And I was like, huh, that is an interesting decision. I really thought Montgomery was going to get a shot, but now that looks like a foolish thought to even have, because Cal Quantrill has been just freaking unbelievable. Now let's talk about the pitching staff as a whole. Texas starters have given up 3 or fewer runs now in a season-high 13 straight games.
Okay.
Going back to August 10th. And then there's Skip to kind of contextualize it for everybody. It's been really good. That's why it's frustrating to have our offense go cold when these guys have picked it up and we've really needed it. Because you're right, first place. But how many of those games do you look at and you're like, man, we really should have been able to win that game based on what our starting pitcher was able to do?
Or we should have been able to blow them out.
Fair.
Yeah, let's be like Ben Johnson and be like, hey, let's not... Three runs isn't good enough, guys. Let's blow them out of the water here today.
Man, you know what? I'm going to go do a study. I'm going to see what the all-time record is for most runs scored in a season.
1,000.
And look at where the Rangers are and see how many runs they would have to score per game.
For the rest of the way?
In these last 31 games?
100 runs a game.
Probably, actually, at this point. So, it ends up being a net positive for the Rangers as they move into the tie for first place. But once again, we said this is the largest compliment sandwich in the world. Josh Jung. Josh Jung.
Back. Oh, no.
He started jogging again.
Here we go.
Did not participate in on-field activities on Friday, and Schumacher said he was probably still a couple of weeks away.
Okay.
And when you hear that, you're like, but by a couple weeks, do you mean like...
We got to get to the playoffs, guys.
Yeah, actually a little bit.
And maybe that'll... So he's not going to be there on Monday for me.
Definitely not.
All right.
And it looks like we're going to get more from Jack Leiter. He had a tough rehab start that we talked about last week. Skip Schumacher said he described it as grindy. And he had a bullpen session this weekend, and then they're going to go from there.
You're not particularly hoping your dude is grinding at the minor league level.
No.
You want him to go out there and make some clean work and be like, all right, get me back up to the bigs real fast.
Yes, that is exactly correct. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for Baseball Nuggets where, hey, did you see what the Astros decided to do? Next on The Fan.
One ball, two strikes, the count. Kikuchi kicks and fires, and this pitch is hit high and deep out into left field. Campero going back. This has a shot. It is gone. Ezekiel Duran with his 14th home run of the season has given Texas a 1-0 lead.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, where we crunch the numbers in the break. And the Texas Rangers would need to average approximately 15.75 runs per game for the rest of the season to break the modern record for most runs scored in a baseball season.
It's actually less runs than I thought it would be.
Yeah, when you gave us the one from, I don't know,
1894.
You would have had to score more than 21 runs per game.
They scored 1,199 runs that year.
Jeez. Just for the record.
It was off the likes of Babe Ruth.
Just for the record, if the baseball season was only at its midway point right now, the Rangers would still not be on pace to break that record.
I think that was 160 games, too.
That was 154.
It was 154. They scored that many runs in that many less games? Why'd they only add like 8 games? This is dumb.
That's a good question.
That's a dumb thing.
I don't know. We'll have to
take
go in the Wayback Machine.
Or add 50 more.
Oh,
you know,
my,
what are we doing?
Goodness
here?
Gracious. All right, right now, we can ponder thoughts such as that as it's time for some baseball nuggets. Hey.
I told you I'm giving up the doot-doo-doo for the num-num-num-num-num-num.
We're going to talk about the Astros in just a second, but if you thought that was going to be your only reference to 1890s baseball today, you thought wrong.
You know what? I would never think something like that with this show.
Good. Let's take you to the Mariners. Remember how we talked about how the Mariners are the worst? Mariners starter Bryce Miller did something not seen in Major League Baseball in 136 years. He was the starting pitcher for Seattle's 19-2 loss. Remember, he was also the starting pitcher when they lost 22-0, which means that Bryce Miller became the first pitcher since George Van Haltren in 1890 with the Brooklyn Wonders.
Good for him.
To lose consecutive starts by at least 17 runs.
Dang, dude. And how many runs has he given up in all those? 6-5, 5-4-2 in his last five games.
Yeah.
So it's not like he was out there just giving the booty up, you know?
I absolutely.
But he was the starter.
Agree with that. Now, George Van Haltren, if you want to picture him in his mind, in your mind, yes, he does have the exact mustache that you're thinking. Mm-hmm. And yes, he is wearing a cap that makes it look like he's about to fight on the wrong side in the Civil War.
Yeah, all he needs is a cape, and then he's going to go kill a vampire. Or
I
he is a vampire.
That, man, and it is Van Haltren, mm-hmm. so I get what you're saying. He had a .316 lifetime batting average.
Slightly adjusted so that the vampires wouldn't know who he is. They're like, sure. Oh, but it's not Helsing, it's Haltren.
Exactly.
Man, wow, that's a tough one for him, you know, losing this bit.
Yeah. All right, let's go from that to, in fact, the Houston Astros. What did you think? I know we talked about it in Crosstalk just a bit, but what do you think about them canning their GM when technically they are in first place?
I think this was like, I saw Bob Nightingale reported it. He was like, look, this they weren't going to keep him next year and sign him to his extension. His contract was up.
That's right.
So they weren't going to give him an extension. They weren't going to do anything like that. So they're just moving forward, I guess, on this. Like, hey, dude, let's go ahead and get our next guy in here. Although Jim Crane's running it. It's not like they have somebody else that was already in place like the Rangers did whenever they had Chris Young. And they were like, well, he's going to take over. And it's basically a peaceful transition of power.
And why would you have your owner also as your GM? That wouldn't work, right?
Not for about 30 years.
Okay. Thank you for that.
What's your point?
I mean, kind of feel like that was the point.
Somebody said that drop right there is always greatly timed by Alec on Twitter. I like that. I think
it's true.
I don't look, man. They're not playing well either. You know, they're just like, maybe we can slip into the playoffs or whatnot. We'll see what happens. Or Kevin, they might be ready to go ahead and just finish it off and say, let's screw this thing up. You know,
That would be great.
Like just that could be a possibility for them, where they're just like, we don't even think we can really compete here anyway. But do you think?
I hope they do.
I don't know how much Dana Brown had with the like going in and motivating this team to win.
Right.
So I don't know how much like if they loved him, this could be a thing where they're like, we want to go, you know, show this guy was wrong. But I don't know how much of an effect it's going to have.
It's probably worse for him since he actually lost his job. But do you think it's, we'll just check. Do you think
they mutually agreed to part ways, Kevin?
No, they didn't. You got fired. Your team is in, that's so stupid. Your team is in first place.
Uh-huh.
And now you don't have a job. You did not mutually agree to anything. You got fired, dude.
Why would the Astros say that? See, here's what I think happens,
because
Kevin, in the mutually
liars.
Agreed.
That's proven.
You get to that point at the end of your contract, and you're just like, I'm going to get paid no matter what.
Right.
Might as well go ahead and start vacation.
But your team's still in first place. You can win the World Series.
And then I won't even be here to celebrate it. Because my contract will be up.
But that's the thing. People say he wouldn't have been back. If all of a sudden that team made it to the World Series, you really think he wouldn't have been back?
No, I think Jim Crane hated him. That's why he fired
him. I mean, maybe so. So is it worse for him or Casey Mize, who hurt himself falling down the dugout steps? He tripped over a step walking into the dugout and came up limping afterwards and then had to leave the field at the end of the second inning. And he suffered an ankle sprain. I don't know if his teammates prayed for him like Ashton Jeanty when it really looked like he was going to be out for the rest of the year. Not to say that that's a wasted prayer. Prayer is a good prayer.
Dude, hey, maybe during that prayer, God healed his Achilles and said, never mind. Thanks to these guys. It's just an ankle sprain. We'll get to that later on in the show today. But I got a question.
Tell me.
Why do dugouts have steps? Doesn't that seem like an obstacle that you don't need?
Oh. Is it set down in there so you're less likely to get hit by the ball?
Probably.
Yeah,
I'm sure there's a reason. But like that's an obstacle, right? These dudes are in metal spikes.
True.
Going up steps. You ever walk down a set of stairs, carpeted stairs with socks on? That's dangerous right there, right? You slip, you're going all the way. These metal spikes, what is it? Does it have some texture? It's not slick, right?
Right.
Slick stuff.
It shouldn't.
Poor Casey Mize, though, man. That stinks. That's a bad way to go.
I mean, he'll be okay. He will live.
He couldn't even make it past the second inning, dude.
No, that is true, because he hurt his ankle.
I'm told when you do stuff like that, they got to put you out to pasture.
That is for a horse.
Oh. So not all sports?
Man, that feels like that'd be pretty damn controversial if somebody introduced the horse law, where you just start shooting people that have sprained ankles or broken
legs. He's got to
go.
Why? Because, I mean, because what use is he now?
Yeah, that feels...
He's just going to be more of a cost than he is going to be a help.
Don't do
that! That's so bad, dude! So bad!
All right, well, let's take you from something super negative and pretty dark to one of the best catches that you'll see all year. Give me cut number 12, and this is Jacob Young making things happen for the Nationals.
Hernandez skies one out to left center. Young back near the wall. Does he have it? Yes, he did. Woo! Runner around second. Lopez is easily going to be doubled off. Jacob Young in his home state scales the wall and robs Heriberto Hernandez.
Catch of the year, baby.
They cannot believe it here at Lone Depot Park.
Climb that fence. Oh, play in the backyard, baby.
I love it, dude. I love it.
Yes, the back half of that call is tremendous. Now, the Nationals didn't end up losing anyway, and they have lost four straight games. But go out of your way to check out that catch. It is very, very impressive. Now, the Royals and Phillies are on a roll. Salvador Perez stole his first base in 5 years over the weekend, so obviously he was pumped up about that. But probably more importantly, the Royals have now won 8 games in a row, which is only the second longest winning streak in baseball. Because going into the 9th inning, the Phillies trailed 4-0 and then scored 6 straight runs to win the game 6-4, and that is now their 9th win in a row, which leads all of baseball.
Okay, so we got a little bit of work to do to catch up to them, is what you're saying.
Yes. Let's start.
We've won one.
That's true.
All right.
Let's continue the winning streak tonight.
15.7
runs per game. That's right. And then there is Giancarlo Stanton. Yankees said on Saturday that he had sustained a left calf strain while rehabbing from 2 other calf strains in his right leg. He is like the next souped-up version of Josh Young's sadness. So he sustained a left calf strain while rehabbing from 2 calf strains in his right leg, and Aaron Boone said it would be, quote-unquote, challenging for Stanton to return this season.
I am sorry that I laughed in that moment. But this is as Mike Stanton as it gets, though. You know, like this is
Giancarlo
once
now.
Once he changed his name, he started getting injured.
Right.
Just saying. But like this is him. He got injured trying to get better from being injured from 2 other injuries that were the same injury. How does that happen to anybody else but Mike Stanton? Or Giancarlo, because obviously Mike never got hurt. So this is wild. Maybe if his teammates had gathered around him and said a prayer.
Or maybe it was the fact that, remember at the beginning of the year when he's like, I can't even open a bag of chips? That, like, you probably should have prepared for the worst.
He's got to play that. He's still got, like, 15 years and $700 million on that contract.
There's a lot of thought that the Yankees will be done with him at the end of the season.
So he's going to be a Ranger?
Oh, man, that does feel like a thing that we would do. We're the KNC Masterpiece. Don't put that out
there. Lighter and rocker.
Right here on, good Lord, no, on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's talk with our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnola, right here on The Fan.